Nearly 5 hours. That's how much time the average person now spends staring at a glowing rectangle of glass and aluminum each day. The iPhone didn't just change technology, it rewired human behavior on a planetary scale. Within a decade of its 2007 debut, ownership in America exploded from 10% to 80%. This wasn't merely adoption, it was absorption. The device became so embedded in daily existence that we stopped noticing it, even as it reorganized how we communicate, work, love, and live. History's most profitable consumer product, with margins reportedly hitting 70% and sales exceeding 1 billion units, the iPhone represents capitalism's pinnacle achievement. Yet behind the sleek design and revolutionary interface lies a far more complex story, one of forgotten pioneers, dangerous minds, exploited workers, and a small team of obsessed engineers who accidentally created the defining artifact of our era. In an abandoned Apple facility, a clandestine group called ENRI, Explore New Rich Interactions, began meeting in the early 2000s without Steve Jobs' knowledge. They believed the century-old keyboard and mouse paradigm was dying as the internet matured and the iPod put digital media in people's pockets. At the heart of this revolution were Bas Ording and Imran Chaudhry, dubbed the Lennon-McCartney of UI. Despite contrasting personalities, Bas easygoing, Imran intense, they formed a creative partnership under Greg Christie that would fundamentally transform human-computer interaction. When engineer Tina Huang brought in a Fingerworks touchpad, the team recognized capacitive sensing's potential to simplify complex gestures into intuitive movements. They created a prototype, a projector suspended above a table with a touchpad beneath displaying the Mac screen. In this windowless room, Ording and Chaudhry spent countless hours developing touch interface fundamentals. If you've ever been in love, not having a single care, that's what it was like, Chaudhry recalled. We knew it was big. When Duncan Kerr showed the early interface to Jony Ive, his reaction was immediate. This is going to change everything. The first true smartphone wasn't Apple's 2007 iPhone. It was IBM's 1993 Simon Personal Communicator. Frank Canava Jr. created this brick-sized device with a touchscreen, tappable icons, and apps. At $895, it was revolutionary but impractical, expensive, bulky, and limited by dial-up connectivity. IBM sold only 50,000 units before discontinuing it. Smartphone-like visions existed long before the technology could support them. The telegraph evolved from optical semaphores to Samuel Morse's 1837 electrical version, transforming society. As one scholar notes, the computer is no more than an instantaneous telegraph with a prodigious memory. Despite Steve Jobs claiming Apple invented multi-touch in 2007, touch interfaces date back decades. Eric Arthur Johnson created the first touchscreen in 1965 for air traffic control. Bill Buxton worked on multi-touch at the University of Toronto in 1984, while Bob Bowie developed an earlier system at Bell Labs. Wayne Westerman's Fingerworks initially served users with repetitive strain injuries, winning CES 2005 Innovation Awards before Apple acquired the company. Apple didn't invent multi-touch. They made it flow, transforming rigid digital interfaces into analog experiences where users could caress, stroke, and fondle rather than just poke and prod. The iPhone's components trace back to mines worldwide, including Bolivia's Cerro Rico, the mountain that eats men. This mine, which once bankrolled the Spanish Empire, now supplies tin for Apple products. Today, 15,000 miners, including thousands of children, work in dangerous conditions. Between 4 and 8 million people have died here over centuries. A metallurgy lab analyzed a new iPhone 6, revealing aluminum, carbon, silicon, tungsten, cobalt, nickel, and trace precious metals. Aluminum production is remarkably inefficient. 4 tons of bauxite yields just 1 ton of aluminum, consuming 3.5% of global power while releasing greenhouse gases 9,200 times more potent than carbon dioxide. Most cobalt comes from Congo's Democratic Republic, where laborers work around the clock using hand tools, often without protective gear. Rare earth metals come from Inner Mongolia, where mining has created a toxic, radioactive lake the BBC called the worst place on Earth. Producing one 129-gram iPhone requires mining 34 kilograms of ore and pollutes 100 liters of water, extracted through back-breaking labor in conditions most users couldn't tolerate for minutes. When Jony Ive demonstrated the NRI Multitouch project to Steve Jobs in summer 2003, Jobs was initially completely unimpressed by the table-sized contraption. Days later, he reversed course dramatically, eventually claiming Apple invented Multitouch. By late 2004, Jobs decided, "We're going to do a phone. There's going to be no buttons, just a touchscreen." A religious war erupted over the iPhone's operating system. The iPod team wanted a simple approach, evolving from the iPod system. The next veterans advocated shrinking OS X into a true mobile computer. When the next team demonstrated smooth scrolling that impressed Jobs, he abandoned the iPod stack for OS X. The iPhone's scratch-resistant glass originated from a 1950s accident. Corning chemist Don Stuckey mistakenly overheated lithium silicate to 900°C, creating a plate that bounced rather than shattered. This became Chemcore glass, 15 times stronger than normal, shelved in 1971 after finding few applications. 4 months before launch, Jobs demanded scratch-resistant glass after Keys marked his prototype's plastic screen. He contacted Corning CEO Wendell Weeks, who had revived Chemcore as Gorilla Glass. Despite protests about lacking production capacity, Jobs insisted, "Don't be afraid, you can do it." Corning scaled up production in under 6 months, one of the few iPhone components made in America. Shanghai houses nearly half of Apple's top suppliers. Where security is intense, guards demand photo deletions, and Pegatron uses facial recognition. Workers endure high-stress conditions with long hours and repetitive tasks. Most last only about a year. iPhone production has transformed China, with Shenzhen growing from a 25,000-person fishing village in 1980 to China's third-largest city. Former Foxconn workers describe brutal conditions, relentless quotas of 1,700 iPhones per day, public humiliation for mistakes, and broken pay promises. Each iPhone requires 141 steps and 24 labor hours in 12-hour shifts. Apple stays in China not for cost savings. U.S. manufacturing would add only $10 per phone, but for workforce flexibility and the manufacturing ecosystem. When Apple needed last-minute screen redesigns, Foxconn woke 8,000 workers at midnight, served tea and biscuits, and had them working within 30 minutes. Within 4 days, they produced 10,000 iPhones daily, speed no American plant can match. The economic disparity is striking. Unlike Henry Ford, who paid workers enough to afford his cars, iPhone workers need several months' wages to buy the devices they assemble. Many turn to black market phones at the Pegatron market, where sellers import iPhones from the U.S. to avoid China's double taxation. Phones are assembled in China, shipped to America, then brought back to sell cheaper to the workers who made them. On January 9, 2007, Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone with visual voicemail, iPod functionality, and multi-touch browsing. Despite a $500 price tag and slow 2G networks, 270,000 units sold opening weekend. The App Store transformed it into a global phenomenon. Original iPhone team members felt conflicted about their creation. Greg Christie buried a first-generation iPhone under his house, calling it "my life's work." Henri Lemiro noted that, unlike his wife's paintings, technology disappears. In 20 years, who's going to care about an iPhone? The first computers were people, skilled laborers performing calculations by hand. The iPhone hides immense human effort behind seamless interfaces. Despite Jobs being forever associated with it, the device required countless inventors, engineers, miners, factory workers, and designers worldwide. Every swipe carries fingerprints of forgotten pioneers. Every tap echoes with labor of invisible hands. The iPhone changed everything. But at what price? That's the question we carry in our pockets 5 hours a day.